Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show. I am back this week. Big shout out to Eric Big E Lee for filling in for me on short notice last week, so we appreciate that. But how you doing, IT Dog?
Doing pretty good, J-Man. Yeah, glad to see you back this week. I mean, I guess the Cubs have played a little better this past week than they did the previous week.
They've won a game. I mean, they've won multiple games, but... yeah, the fact that they won at least one game means they're doing better than they did the previous week. So,
but no, understandable why you missed the show last week. You didn't want to talk about the Cubs. We've all been there, done that.
Yeah,
all good. But no, doing pretty well. Can't complain.
Good deal. I guess there's been a lot that happened really today.
A lot of movement in the NFL. Some trades, a team potentially moving out of state, a lot going down.
Yeah,
for sure.
The NFL never sleeps, does it?
It doesn't. I mean, one of the trades today, I had a feeling that was going to happen for a couple months, but the other one, I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
So, but we also got the NBA Finals to talk about because we know that matchup finally. MLB, of course, now that we're in June, maybe kind of start. It's still early. Mm-hmm. To decide pretenders and contenders, but hey, June's later than May, so
it is. Yeah,
but it's still, hard to believe we're in the sixth month of the year already.
I know. Yeah, still 4 months left of the baseball season. I mean, we've only played 2 months, and it feels like it's been a lifetime. Really, the past 3 weeks has felt like a lifetime to me for baseball watching. But
understandable.
Yeah,
understandable. But I did bring some birdie or bogey with me for you this evening. My dad, I don't know if you listened to the show or watched. I know you watched a little bit last week because
I watched a little bit.
Comment in.
Yeah.
He gave me a choice of questions last week, in NASCAR or a MLB one. I went with NASCAR. Being in the 10 years we've done this podcast, we have not had too many auto racing trivia questions.
Have we had one?
I want to say we have, but I don't know. I don't know. Doing some research that I'm too lazy to do. So, I chose the NASCAR question and I got it right. So I'm under par right now, which I don't think we've ever had somebody reach into the month of June, even or under par.
It's the T-Dog's year, clearly. I don't remember even being more than or better than two strokes over par. So because we stink.
Where are you sitting at for the
year? I'm pulling it up now. It's taking forever to pull it up. I usually have it pulled up immediately, but of course I am three over, so you got a good four stroke lead on me. So
well, you're either going to be two over or four over after tonight's question, because there's no chance to get a par. It's either a birdie or a bogey. It's an NBA related question.
Great.
Who is the oldest player in NBA history to win the MVP award?
That's a really good question. Fantastic question. I have no idea, honestly. I have no idea. But which is pretty typical, honestly, of a birdie bogey question. Birdie or bogey, though, is brought to you by Giretti's Place and Arlington Public House. Giretti's Place, small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites to keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Did you see their Facebook post today?
I did not see it today.
It's big news to you and other taco lovers out there. Mm. Taco Tuesday officially coming to Giretti starting tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
Every Tuesday after, they're going to be serving up two crab favorites, shrimp tacos and birria tacos.
Mm, big fan of the birria. Big fan. So
there you go. You can get them at lunch now, and you can get tacos at night at the Arlington Public House. I think their taco night's on Thursday.
Okay.
At Arlington. But there you go. So have some tacos for lunch on Tuesdays at Giretti's.
I had tacos a few times over the weekend and tacos tonight. So I'm on a taco kick.
I had tacos on Saturday for lunch myself.
So did I. Yeah. And I had tacos on Sunday for lunch. And then I just had tacos for dinner before the show. So.
You're practically a walking taco.
Pretty much. I'm okay with that.
Did you change up the variety of tacos.
So, yes. On Saturday, we were at a restaurant, and I had I forget what it was. It was beef tenderloin carne asada taco. And then yesterday, we go to this taco place that is definitely not an authentic Mexican taco place. It's called Zap Taco. Shout out Zap Taco in Mokena, Illinois. It's my favorite taco place. They're white people tacos, essentially, is what I call them. I got a Nashville hot chicken one, which was good. I got a Fatty McGee one, which is just like your typical ground beef, that sort of thing. And then I got a, I think it's called a Sloppy Mess, which is pulled pork, mac and cheese, and some sort of sauce on it. And they're good. And then tonight I just had ground beef.
Kind of surprised you went with the Nashville hot chicken because you're not a spice guy.
I handle spice. All right.
Okay.
I love buffalo chicken, Nashville hot chicken sort of stuff. But
okay, that's fair. Yeah,
I had to say no pickles though because I do not like pickles.
Pickles might be my least favorite food out there. I don't like when they touch my food. I don't like
it. It ruins it. Yeah.
Yeah. It does. Like, you know, a lot of times my wife's always like, "Oh, you can just take the pickles off the sandwich."
Nope.
No, you can't.
No.
Tastes I can do that same. With like a tomato or something else. Pickles, no. If that juice gets in there, it's over
it
for me.
Chick-fil-A never screws up orders, but when I go to Popeyes and they leave the pickles on there, it tastes like there's straight pickle on there, even though it doesn't have the pickle texture. I like most things pickled. Like I love pickled onions, especially on tacos. I just don't like pickled cucumbers, and that's the most popular pickled item.
There you go,
man.
There you go. What a rabbit hole to go down tonight to start the podcast. But like I said, let's hop right into the NFL. It was kind of the big news of the day today. First, we woke up to the news that the Bears and the state of Illinois didn't get anything accomplished overnight.
Yeah.
So it's still up in the air what's going to happen with the Bears, but. Each and every passing day, I think the chance of them realistically moving across state borders in Indiana is the real deal.
Yeah, I think definitely it's increasing in likelihood. The Illinois politicians have been abysmally incompetent, which is par for the course here. But also Kevin Warren has been miserably incompetent, which again, par for the course for him. So you have two idiots button heads there, and it's a shocker they're not getting anything done. But still, until they break ground in Indiana, I'll believe it when I see it. I mean, they can even announce plans that we're going to do it on this date, but until that first shovel goes into the ground, I still think they're probably likely going to stay in Illinois. And Arlington Heights makes a ton of sense. O'Hare is literally right there. Within 10 minutes. So that makes the most sense. It's all about getting a deal worked out. But they've been doing this for, 4 years now? 3 or 4 years? And nothing happening.
Yeah, and the Bears pretty much – I'm gonna bring it up so I don't get wrong what they said exactly today. Let's see here. Now I got to find the exact quote because I don't want to get it wrong. The statement from the Bears says they will finalize their evaluation of both Arlington Heights and Hammond and will remain on the late spring/early summer timeline. Well, we're already in June. They have
previously for next year, maybe?
They will provide an update when they have a decision to share. No, they wanted to get it done this year. I'm like, dude, we're in June 1st.
They're
idiots. Spring ends here in like a couple weeks.
I just don't think nothing's ever going to happen. They're going to stay at Soldier Field forever. It's going to just collapse in on itself one day, and they're going to have to figure something out quick.
I don't know. It's interesting. I don't even know, like, what to compare it to. Because, of course, the Jets and Giants play in New Jersey, but nobody ever says anything about that.
No, I mean, they played in New Jersey forever.
Right,
and it's you can literally see the city of New York from you know, their stadium. Where in Hammond, Indiana, you're a good 40 minutes away. It's just different in that case.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, again, until they break ground, I'll still think they're going to end up in the state of Illinois.
I mean, do you care as a resident of Illinois? Do you care what happens? I know you don't like the Bears. You like the Dolphins, but
I don't care. I don't want to pay more taxes than I already do in this state. And I don't know if that will affect me at all. I don't know if it's just the county in which the stadium will be in. But I can understand why, you know, the state doesn't want to pay for a billionaire stadium for sure. It was funny this week during this, all this stuff with the Bears stuff. You have George McCaskey out there umping high school baseball. Did you see the videos of that?
I did not.
It was pretty funny. He's out there. He was umping behind home plate, and he's sprinting out to third to make a call. Billionaire guy doing that. So
I hope
obviously doesn't have a care in the world right now. But
hope he wore shin guards unlike somebody else on this podcast when they umped behind home plate.
Yeah, that was one time, and I took one off the shin pretty good. So
some little kids learned some new words that day.
Yeah,
so woke up with that. Mm-hmm. And then as the day goes on, a little after lunchtime, maybe around lunchtime, blockbuster trade that I didn't see coming. Myles Garrett, arguably the best defensive player in the NFL, being shipped from the Cleveland Browns to the LA Rams for Jared Verse, a 2027 first round pick, 2028 second round pick, 2029 third round pick.
Yeah. I think when all's said and done at the end of Myles Garrett's career, we might be talking about him as the greatest defensive end ever. If his career continues to go the exact way it's been going, he'll for sure be on the Mount Rushmore of defensive ends, if not Mount Rushmore of defensive players ever. So it was obviously a win now move for the Rams, which they've been doing that for 10 years. I mean, their first round picks they've had, I have it here. Let's see if I can pull it up real quick since 2000, because they had that whole thing, F them picks sort of thing. Rams first round picks since 2016, Jared Goff, who was eventually traded to the Lions for Matt Stafford. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, and 23, they didn't have a single first-round pick. 2024 was Jared Verse, who was traded for Myles Garrett.
Heck of a player in his own right.
Very, very good player. I mean, I think he's close to an elite-level defensive end, mm-hmm. so he'll do good there. 2025 didn't have one, and then this year they took Ty Simpson, which after the trade, obviously a very much win-now trade, makes the Ty Simpson pick make even less sense than it did. It made zero sense when it happened, but it's weirder by the day now.
Yep.
With this. I mean, they could have got Matt Stafford a weapon. You know, Davante Adams is older. Puka Nacua seems like he's kind of maybe falling off the deep end a little bit off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they don't have Cooper Kupp anymore. Could have gotten some offensive line help, stuff like that, or even taking a defensive guy for that matter. They took a guy that will sit behind Matt Stafford for 2 years. So
there's no guarantee he'll even be the backup.
Exactly. So it made very little sense when it happened. It makes even less sense now.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. There's definitely a win mode, win now mode trade. Stafford's got 2 years left on his deal. So yeah, I mean, they're already towards the top, if not the favorites to win the NFC. And this move makes them definitely the favorites now.
Yeah, I would say they're definitely the favorites to win the NFC. And I think, honestly, it's a good deal for Cleveland, too.
Yeah, it is. It's just Cleveland, you know.
Exactly. Jared Verse has got to be sitting there like, what the heck?
Yeah, I got to go
play from LA with a Super Bowl contender, and now I got to go play for Cleveland.
Yeah.
And again, very, very good player in his own right. And then, of course, Cleveland picks up, you know, three picks, including a first rounder. So a good deal for them. And they'd have that constant cloud over them. When's Myles Garrett going to come in and ask for a trade? That sort of deal, which he has before. And then he kind of backed off it once they gave him the extension. So it's kind of it's a good thing that probably for both clubs, obviously for the Rams, a good deal. But I think Cleveland did well with it, too.
And then we got another blockbuster later in the afternoon, one that had been rumored for a long time. The Eagles sent A.J. Brown to the Patriots in exchange for a 2028 first-round pick and a 2027 fifth-round pick.
Yeah. That was one that I think everyone had said June 1st, it's going to happen. And it did happen on June 1st. AJ Brown's a diva. But New England needs a legitimate number one wide receiver. I mean, that was pretty evident. I don't know.
And they put up with the diva last year and Stephon Diggs.
They did.
And Vrabel has been with AJ Brown before when he coached the Titans.
That's fair. Yep. That's a very good point. And I know obviously, the AJ Brown saga in Tennessee had nothing to do with Vrabel. He obviously wanted him to stay. It was more of an ownership deal there. I didn't even make the connection of Vrabel and AJ Brown, honestly. He's good. I know him and Jalen Hurts towards the end were not getting along. I'm hoping he's as much of a cancer in New England.
Yep. Well, New England's got a lot of off the field distractions going on.
Yeah, they do.
So we had that. The Giants didn't have any trades, but they picked up two veteran wide receivers today. Yeah. Kind of head scratching moves, Juju Smith-Schuster and Odell Beckham Jr. As a Giant.
OBJ has, I think, 6 catches the past 3 calendar years. All of them with Miami. He was terrible there. They also signed Braxton Berrios, a former Dolphin.
At least he can play some special teams.
Yeah, he's a pretty good return guy, at least. OBJ's washed. I'll be shocked if he makes the team. Juju hasn't really done
much. Harbaugh loves him, though.
He does, yeah. I don't know why, honestly. But obviously, OBJ played for John out there in Baltimore.
And I've literally, till I just said that, I keep forgetting John's their new coach.
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, he's been there for so long. It'll take some getting used to. Although Mike McCarthy kind of seems like a Pittsburgh Steeler kind of head coach there, which makes it easier.
It's still going to be weird not seeing Tomlin, though.
Yeah.
There.
It'll probably be less weird knowing that Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy are on the same squad again.
That's a good point. Man, I forgot about that, too.
So, it's
going to be a lot of interesting storylines this year in the NFL. And former New York Giant now, Russell Wilson, basically retired from the NFL and is going to be joining the CBS crew, the pregame crew.
His career ended much quicker than I think a lot of people thought it would. He's what, 38 now, though?
38, yeah. 38, 30, maybe turning 39 this year. Yeah.
But still, it seems the end of his career happened quick.
Oh, man.
Starting with, obviously, in Denver. But I think he'll be pretty good on TV. He seems pretty well-spoken. And
he's a pretty smart guy.
He's kind of, him and RG3 are kind of similar, the way they handle each other. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting. I think he made the right move. I mean, it was either that or go be Geno's backup in New York as a Jet.
Yeah, that'd be brutal.
He's a guy who wants to start, even though he got benched for Jackson Dart in New York. Yeah. But he did get a chance to start for the first 3 or 4 games.
I don't really know what happened there. I don't know if it was a Seattle thing. That was where he could do his stuff, or if he.
I think there's a lot of stuff. I think it's. Think of Seattle. I think it was just loss of confidence in Denver.
Yeah.
That first year with Nathaniel Hackett was just abysmal. And then the next year he puts up some decent statistics, but they're not winning games. He's not running the offense Sean Payton really wanted to run.
Sean Payton hated him. Yeah. You could tell he did not like him.
I think Sean Payton had a plan when he got the job that, like, hey, this guy's not gonna be my quarterback after this year type thing. Could be wrong there. Then he goes to Pittsburgh, was just a system quarterback there. They won enough to get to the playoffs.
Which is pretty typical of Pittsburgh.
Yep. And then the Giants last year. I don't know. It just the older he got, he couldn't rely on his athleticism.
Yeah.
And that's what really made him the stud quarterback in Seattle, along with a great defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And good run game, usually. Yeah. So
he'll be an interesting Hall of Fame case.
He will.
For sure. I think 5 years ago, he would have said no doubt
about it. Deadlock.
Yep. But now, there's definitely question marks. Yep. If Eli hasn't gotten in yet, I don't think he can put Russell in at all.
No.
Although Eli's pretty overrated, but he did win 2.
Did win 2, and I know not everything. I mean, Russell should have 2 if they just hit it off the ball.
Yeah.
But they didn't, and it is what it is. Yep. So, yeah, I think he ultimately gets in the Hall of Fame, but I don't think he's a first ballot guy.
No, I agree with you.
Yeah. Yeah. So anything else NFL related you want to hit on?
Rashee Rice has to spend 30 days in jail.
You mean a chief again in the offseason has to go to jail? Imagine that.
It was funny. I think it was Underdog put on like Rashee Rice out for mini camp due to his knee and jail or something like that. It was pretty funny. Or OTAs, whatever they're doing now. But
yeah. Yeah, we'll see. This is kind of where the month of June, where the NFL stuff calms down
a little bit.
And then July, it ramps back up because training camps will be starting middle, end of the month. Then August, of course, we got preseason, and then boom, we're in the hot.
One guy I haven't really heard anything about is Tyreek Hill, obviously coming off a horrendous knee injury last year where they think there could be nerve damage, which could affect his, you know, obviously his speed, cutting ability. The only things he really does well, because he's not a big guy, doesn't have great hands, but man, he's fast and quick. So that'll be interesting if he ever really plays again. Because, I mean,
yeah,
when I saw the way his leg was mangled, I was like, I don't know.
But another guy that you want to make sure your locker room's in really good shape before you bring him in.
Yeah, definitely.
Von Miller, personal favorite of mine, he keeps lobbying, wants to finish his career with the Broncos.
Yeah.
The Broncos fans want the Broncos, like, just even as just a backup and like an occasional pass rusher. Yeah. I, as much as I want to see it happen, I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think the Broncos and Sean Payton want to waste a roster spot.
Fair. On him. Payton also has such a huge ego that he's like, I'm not going to do it unless I want to do it.
Right. So, yeah. Right. But it would be cool. A fitting way cool. for one more year. Definitely. And I mean, he's not putting up the stats he used to, of course, but still Washington last year. I think he had like 8 sacks.
Yeah.
So he's still doing maybe stuff. It was 6, but so he still gets to, it's just, he's so much slower than he used to be, but that's, I mean, he's 37 years old, still trying to play defensive end. So
not too many defensive end edge rushers last till they're 37. No. I mean, DeMarcus Ware did, I think Calais Campbell is still going at 40.
He is. Yeah.
But it's very rare for that to happen.
Yep. Edge rushers, running backs, they never last past 35.
30 even anymore.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good point. That's a good point. Wide receivers, if they get to 35, they're usually done.
Yeah.
Tight ends, really? It just depends how they're used.
Yeah. Quarterbacks and kickers. That's
and punters.
Yeah, kickers, punters, quarterbacks.
Yep. Yep, that's about it.
Offensive line. Yeah, offensive line. Yeah. Like defensive tackles, nose tackles kind of last a little longer because you're not putting as much stress on your body.
Yeah, linebackers, it's usually mid-30s again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely defensive backs because you got to be fast.
Yeah, you got to be fast.
Yeah.
Safeties can hang on a little bit longer.
They can.
Cornerbacks can.
Eric Weddle held on for a pretty long time. I saw
Harrison Smith too. Yeah.
He was in the news this week. Weddle. He was on a podcast that usually talks about the Colorado, the Buffaloes. And they got talking about Bryce Underwood. And he said he went and watched some spring practice at Michigan. He goes, I think he's going to be benched within the first 4 weeks. He's like, he is not a good quarterback. He said he's an athlete that shouldn't be playing quarterback. And he brought up a great point how they need to get back to every program in college needs to get back to like making sure your quarterback's a pocket passer first that then can scramble. Stop trying to make these athletes into quarterbacks.
Yeah. Remember last year, all year, I was like thoroughly unimpressed with Underwood.
Yes.
Thoroughly unimpressed. That was my phrase, thoroughly unimpressed. And he's getting paid a lot of money. And he was the greatest prospect ever coming in. But
we'll see. Yeah, but I get what he said. I mean, you want your quarterback to have a little athleticism, but I totally get what he says. Like, there's a lot of college programs that just put a very athletic guy back there. Maybe he was an athlete in high school. And your athletic ability can only get you so far at the quarterback position. I mean, you got to be able to still throw the ball. You got to be smart. You got to get in the right plays. Got to make smart decisions. So
I totally get it.
Totally get it. But do you want to get educated?
I do, always.
Talk about some sporting events that have happened on June 1st. On this day, 1917, Boston Braves first baseman Hank Gowdy was the first active MLB player to enlist for service in World War I. He was the only player to fight in both World War I and II.
Interesting.
Wednesday, 1918, the White Sox lost 5-4 against the New York Yankees. They loaded the bases in the ninth with no outs. Chick Gindel lined a Frank Baker, who turned a rare game-winning triple play.
That's the type of crap that would have happened to the Cubs the past 2 weeks for sure. 100%.
Oh, that's funny. Got some cricket. Got some tennis. On this day, 1939, the first major boxing match on U.S. television took place. It was in Yankee Stadium between former world champion Max Baer and Lou Nova. Nova won by TKO in the 11th round.
Interesting.
A lot of French Open. On this day, 1975, California Angels pitcher Nolan Ryan recorded his record-equaling fourth MLB career no-hitter.
How many end up throwing? Eight?
Seven.
He threw out seven, so he had three more in him.
Yeah, he's incredible. On this day, 1979, who won the NBA championship?
79, I don't think it was the Lakers.
It was my Seattle Supersonics.
Your Seattle Supersonics.
And I should have been wearing one of my two Sonic hats. I can't believe I'm not. Darn it. Who'd they beat?
It would have been an Eastern Conference.
It's a four to one series win. Who did they beat?
I'm going to go with the Detroit Pistons.
The Washington Bullets.
Nope, wouldn't have got that.
On this day, 1982, Oakland A's left fielder Ricky Henderson stole two bases in a 3-2 win over the Red Sox to become the fastest player to reach 50 stolen bases in a season.
Oh, man, June 1st. That's crazy.
On this day, 1992... Who won the Stanley Cup?
92. Detroit Red Wings.
The Pittsburgh Penguins beat the Chicago Blackhawks. I did not know the Blackhawks made it in 92. 3-1 series win. Why was it not played? Was it only five games back then?
Five game series.
Second consecutive title for the Penguins. On this day in 1993, Phoenix Suns guard Dan Majerle set a then NBA playoff record by sinking 8 three-pointers during the Suns' 120-114 win over Seattle in Game 5 of the Western Conference Finals.
8 threes in a game isn't all that impressive anymore with they're doing now. Yeah.
On this day, 1994, Indiana guard Reggie Miller drilled an NBA playoff record 5 three-pointers in the fourth quarter of the Patriots' 93-86 win over the Knicks in Game 5 of the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's going to do it. There's nothing good in the 2000s to share. So that is the On This Day segment for June 1st, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, by Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing. The NBA finals are set, and San Antonio and New York are partying again like it's 1999 when they met in the NBA finals, in which was the Knicks' last trip to the NBA finals. That was a strike-shortened season. Whole different cast of characters this time around, but should be an interesting series.
Yeah, you have a pretty veteran laden team with the Knickerbockers with, you know, Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, really the Villanova Wildcats there with
an OG.
Yeah, and OG Anunoby, and obviously
better pro than I thought he would be.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, he had some injury issues at Indiana, sure, and that really did a whole lot. But yeah, he's had a good career. But those guys have been around the block a little bit. This is all pretty much their I think it's all their first NBA Finals appearance, at least in the starting lineup. And then you have the young pups there in San Antonio with Wimby at, you know, 21. Stephon Castle, 21, 22. You have Vassell's real young. Couple other guys, Harper, is very young as well. So, it'll be interesting. I think I saw game one, which is Wednesday night. The Spurs are 5.5 point favorites at home. I expect it to go 6 or 7 games for sure.
You know, normally with this young core of San Antonio, their future looking so bright, I root for the opposition, saying that, the Spurs are going to get their own and probably multiple titles in the next decade. Not this time. I hope the Spurs sweep the Knicks. Don't think it's going to happen. I think it does go 6 games. I think the Spurs ultimately win the series, but I don't know. The Knicks have been playing good basketball this postseason.
Yeah, they have. They did have as easy of a road as you could get to get there. I mean, they got to play a 7 seed in the second round, and they got to play a 4 seed in the conference finals. So, and now they will have been off over a week since the last time they played, so they could be a little rusty. Obviously they're going to come out fired up, and I'm very glad Oklahoma City's not in. They do not.
I was just going to say that. Yep.
On brand of basketball. They flop. SGA is too good of a player to be flopping around. I mean, he's looking for contact more than he is to score. And finally in the fourth quarter the other night, he was finally looking to score instead of get to the free throw line. And he was awesome in the fourth quarter. So he doesn't need to be doing that crap. They're dirty. Mm-hmm. I'm glad they're not there. I mean, for winning their first ever first ever NBA title there in Oklahoma City, they became very unlikable quick. It usually takes a few years for you to start hating a team for winning. Real quick. I'm glad the Spurs were able to find a way to win in Oklahoma City, too.
Yeah, which is an extremely tough environment in the NBA, like a college atmosphere. It's pretty cool. And I think Oklahoma City's still going to be in the mix for the next couple of years. Sure. The Western Conference is a gauntlet compared to the East. Mm-hmm. But, man, for so many years I was enjoying the Knicks falling short. If they find a way to win the first title since the 70s, they might burn that city to the ground.
Yeah.
Because that is New York's favorite team.
Yeah.
Football, you're split. Hockey, you're split.
Good point.
Not splitting basketball.
No, they don't really care about the Nets there.
No, I always forget the Nets are even in the state anymore. Well,
they were in New Jersey for their entire existence up until 15 years ago or so. 12
I feel like even in the early 2000s when the Nets were making finals runs losing, they didn't care.
It's like, I'm trying to think who I can compare it to. I want to compare it to Dodgers Angels, but they're.
Was just gonna say, how about when the Angels made that run?
Yeah, they're in a completely different city, though.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Which I guess, Brooklyn's a borough.
When the White Sox made the 05 World Series run.
No, because Cubs hadn't won one since 1908, so I think people. Some people were jumping on the bandwagon. I was kind of rooting for them.
Were you really?
Yeah, well, the Astros were in the Cubs division, so I didn't want the Astros to win.
Looking back on it.
Back then the Astros were in the Cubs division.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, there's really nothing to compare it to, I guess.
No, not really. Yeah.
Yeah. But last week, that was my blind rankings for my dad was Knicks, because Stephen A. was saying if they win at all, Brunson's the best Knick of all time.
Oh!
I think my dad ranked him 4th. Yeah. And said he would have re-ranked him 5th after I gave him a 5.
Who else was on there?
Ewing.
Yeah.
Willis Reed.
Okay.
King. Oh, man. And who was the other one I put on there?
I'm trying to think of good Knicks.
Oh, Walt Frazier.
Oh, yeah.
And I left, probably shouldn't have, I left Carmelo off. because he didn't win a lot, but he scored so much. I probably should have put him on there.
Yeah. I'd put Brunson ahead of Carmelo.
Yeah. He's only been there 3 years. But look what he's done already, I guess.
Well, yeah, look at Dallas. They had Luka and Jalen Brunson on the same squad out there.
They're not
bungled that one horrendously.
They're not a well-run organization anymore. They used to be.
Yeah.
They used to be. Cuban was there.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then later this month will be the NBA draft.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I might have not heard you say, but did you pick the Spurs to win?
I don't think I've picked yet, but yes, I'm picking the Spurs one. I want to do a J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week, but we won't know. I'm just going to do it anyway. This will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. I think the Spurs win in – I think they win in San Antonio in game six. I'm going to have them go six. Actually, that might not work that way.
They're not – I think they do –
2-2-1-1-1. 2-2-1-1-1.
Yeah. No, so that would
game six would be in New York. So I'm gonna say they clinch in Madison Square.
That'd be sweet.
Which would be great. Yeah. Yeah. J-Man's Book of Richard Luke brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers, Comp, and Farm Insurance. Contact us at 919-869-4561. Book it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a huge NBA guy. I'll get back into it when the Sonics come back. I've said that many times. But if there's one team I just don't root for, it is the New York Knicks. I just never have.
Well, for years, they'd be, 30 and 52, and we'd still have to hear about
them. They're the Cowboys.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was about to say. They're like the Cowboys. You'd still have to hear about them in the middle of May. You'd have to hear about the Cowboys on, First Take. Crap like that. It's annoying. No one cares. No one Mm-mm. cares. Mm-mm. They still have to talk about them.
Yeah. And now they're like, I remember that was the first finals I remember watching was the Spurs Knicks. Like I was still, of course, we were seven. So we're still young, but I remember like Sprewell going against Tim Duncan and like big deal that the Spurs won because it was their first one ever. And then, they'd be coming to it. A little dynasty of their own, and then the Knicks just wouldn't get back there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But we will see. We will see. We'll have a better outlook on things a week from today.
There'll be at least two games played, hopefully three. It just drags on way too long.
NBA and the NHL, too.
Yep.
But that's the stupid Avalanche's fault for getting swept. So everybody's waiting.
Yeah,
to see who the Golden Knights are going to face, which I need to check. I don't know how that other series is going between Carolina and Montreal. Carolina and the Golden Knights start Stanley Cup off tomorrow. So the streak continues of Canada teams not getting it done. Yeah, because the Hurricanes beat them 4-1. They clinched that Friday night. I missed them.
Rough year for Canadian hockey, for sure.
Sure is.
Yeah.
Sure is.
My blind rank is NBA finals related.
I had a figure it might be. Had a feeling it might be.
I have five moments, NBA finals moments, and I want you to rank them one through five, starting with I was having a hard time coming up with five because I tried to do them all in our lifetime, and honestly, I just didn't remember a lot of
stuff.
The first one I have for you is the Toronto Raptors becoming the first non-U.S. team to win a NBA championship.
Very forgettable.
It is, yeah.
Very forgettable. I mean, Drake being on the front row was like the most talked about thing probably during that run. Kawhi hit a huge shot in the game winning, the game clinching game. Yeah, I do remember that. But putting a five. Just very forgettable. Like it just happened in 2019.
Yeah.
And now that franchise is not even close to sniffing another one.
Yeah. The Celtics winning for the first time since the 80s and the anything is possible.
Yeah. They go out and get Ray Allen and got Garnett and put him with Pierce. And they kind of started the super team.
Yeah.
The super team trend we would see for many, many years.
Yeah,
everybody wants to say it was the Heat, but it was actually the Celtics. Yeah. They beat a Laker team, which got a lot of press because of Celtics-Lakers again, but a new era Celtics-Lakers. Garnett's getting his first title. all three of those guys getting their first title. I remember watching the series because at that time I was still a pretty big NBA fan, or at least had my finger on the pulse a lot more than I do now. I'll put that at three.
Okay. The Ray Allen shot against San Antonio.
Yeah. A lot of Heat fans were already leaving for the exits, thought it was over, and Ray does that to come back and win the game. They ultimately win the series. I remember watching that.
Was it Chris Bosh that got the offensive rebound?
I believe it was.
Kicked it out.
Yeah, I remember watching that. So, but I'm going to put it at four. I think you got two other ones that I'm going to put higher.
Two other ones, huh? All right. No,
let's backfire.
Obviously, you're going to be putting this one higher. The Jordan shot against the Utah Jazz.
I mean, I don't remember watching it by any means. I've seen it.
Actually, I do.
Really?
Yeah, that is like my first – I've said it for years. That's like my first sports memory.
Okay.
Because I was watching it with my dad in our living room in like a – when we had like a 27-inch screen TV
back sir. In the
late 90s, mid-90s really, you know, 90, whatever. I vaguely remember watching it.
I think my first sports memory, it's either Elway's last game against the Falcons, Super Bowl 33, or I remember for some reason watching Wayne Gretzky skate around his last career game when he was on the Rangers.
Interesting.
I don't know why. But, I mean, it's iconic. I'm putting it at two, though, just because I didn't watch it.
Fair. That's fair.
That's the only reason. I mean, did he push off on Byron Russell? I don't know, but who cares?
Who cares?
Reggie also pushed off on Michael in the Eastern Conference Finals and in the famous, one of the more famous shots in Pacer history. So is what it is. But that's the only reason it's number two is because I don't remember watching live. So hopefully number one is a moment I do. If not.
Yes, for sure. It's the LeBron James block. Yes, at that's Golden what I was State. Hoping.
Yeah. I watched that whole series.
That was a great
I was rooting hobby, for the Cavs pretty heavily because I just wanted to – at the time, I still liked LeBron, and I wanted to see him get it done. That whole series, fighting back from their deficit in the series, that block.
With what, 55 seconds left or something like that?
Yeah, it was amazing.
I think that'd probably be his top highlight of his career.
Yeah,
and something people remember most.
I remember watching that laying down in my bedroom. Of my old house in Rochester. So, I'm glad you put, I was the whole right at the beginning when you said I got 5 moments. I'm like, hope he puts a LeBron block up there because that's definitely the one that stands out to me, even though that was a decade ago.
Yeah. An honorable mention that I almost put on there was Golden State winning the title in whenever that was, 21 or 22, because it felt like the dynasty was over. They'd
lost
like 60 games the year before, and then they just come out and
got Durant, right?
Well, no, that was...
It was before they got Durant.
It was after they
got after Durant. They got Durant.
Yeah. Durant was already somewhere. Durant was already in Brooklyn.
The Golden State years, I get so confused. Because
I do too, yeah.
They've been solid for so long now.
Yeah, definitely.
Even though they're just hanging on by a thread right now.
They need to... It's hard to get rid of legends, and you're not going to get rid of Steph or Draymond, probably.
Should have got rid of Draymond. But,
They did get rid of Clay.
So, yeah, true.
Yeah, some legend.
But. True. Good blind ranking segment, though. Very good. We kind of went back in time there a little bit. And that's the blind ranking segment brought to you by Legos Every Week, Performer Prints 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026, Performer Prints 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. Good old baseball.
Yeah.
The J-Man is back on Twitter, everybody. He's back the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. I've just been pulling out the gutless losers a lot on there.
I went over your tweets last Monday because the previous weekend you had some
good. I was angry. I'm like, okay, this is enough already. I was coming off a sweep of a terrible Houston Astros team at home, getting swept by the Astros, I should say. That's when I reached the dark place. And then they lose their first two against Pittsburgh. And now they're on a hot streak. They've won three of their last five. Woo. It's just, I don't even know what to say. They're just gutless losers. Pathetic, big, pathetic losers right now. Obviously, there's 4 months left to completely flip the script, but and I anticipate they will eventually. But the pitching is a major, major concern, and that's a reason that's giving me a stomach ache even thinking about the rest of the year, because if they don't get the pitching under control here, they're not going to turn it around, and could be a very, very long season. Which is, it falls entirely on Jed Hoyer, honestly. It was a failure of an offseason. You look at his offseason acquisitions, and for the most part, they've been kind of blah. Even Alex Bregman's been, he's been okay. Phil Maton, reliever, gave him a 2-year deal. First time Jed has ever given a reliever a 2-year deal. He's been awful. ERA near 9 this year. Edward Cabrera, they traded, you know, a couple top prospects for him. He's had a decent start. First couple starts been horrible since. Now he's hurt. He should be back this next weekend. I think so is what I think. Cade Horton injury sucks. It's part of the game, but I mean, he's a legitimate ace, number one sort of guy. So losing him hurts. Matt Boyd, their opening day starter, you know, he's been out. He missed with some issue. I forget, at the beginning of the year, he only made 1 or 2 starts. Then he gets hurt, and then he comes back and makes a start or two, and he tears his meniscus. But it does sound like he'll be back fairly soon. Made a rehab start last night. So hopefully getting Cabrera and Boyd back will help stabilize the rotation a little bit. Jameson Taillon, who luckily is in his last year of his deal, he'd been awesome, or consistent, I should say. Consistently good for about 2 years. He's given up 1,000 homers this year. Feels like he's just been uncompetitive, can't keep the ball in the ballpark. Cubs in itself are leading baseball in homers given up. They've given up over 80 homers this year, which is 5 more than any other team.
Why is that?
In baseball, velocity. Jed is so scared of velocity for some reason that he gets these soft tossing guys that have good command. Well, those days where they don't have good command, they're going to get hit out of the ballpark. Shota Imanaga has given up 8 homers his last 3 starts combined. 8 homers. That's almost 3 homers a start. You know how hard that is to do? This is coming off of, you know, the best 7 start stretch of his career coming in. He's been miserably bad. They get up 3-0 in the first inning against St. Louis. Immediately gives up a 3-run homer to tie it in the bottom half. He's given up homers to schmohawks like Thomas Segase. Whatever his name is for the Cardinals, guys that don't hit anyone. He's given up homers to those guys. As I said, J-Mo's been terrible. Colin Ray's been okay, I guess. Jordan Wicks, they call him up for 2 starts, gives up a 5 spot in the first inning he pitches all year. And then yesterday he has to make another start. He gives up 2 in the first. When you give up 2 in the first, Cubs are gutless losers. They have no backbone at all. They're not going to come back from a 2.
Does that fall on the manager a little bit?
There's nothing the manager can do. I think it falls on the players at this point.
Right.
Craig's tried about everything he possibly could. Now it's on the players to break out of it, or Jed to give them any sort of help. But again, it's hard to get any sort of help in June. If it's July, he'd be, you know, working the phones much harder than he – I mean, I'm sure he's working the phones very hard. But takes 2 to tango, and in June, teams aren't willing to give up yet. But it's been a – I've watched so – few innings the past 3 weeks because they find themselves down 5-0 in the third. Like, I'm not watching this crap, so I'll turn it off because I know they're not gonna come back. I'll check the score every once in a while. Oh, that 5-0 deficit turned into 7-1. Okay, that's enough for me tonight. They're runners in scoring position. They're in the bottom 5 in baseball. In the month of May, they were 28th in ERA. They're not scoring runs anymore. Nico Horner's been bad offensively. Dansby Swanson's been one of the worst offensive players in baseball the past 6 weeks. Alex Bregman's just been kind of middle of the pack. Ian Happ is the streakiest hitter I've ever seen in my entire life. He looks, for 10 days, it looks like he's never touched a bat before. Then he'll hit 4 homers in 3 days, and you think he's back, and then he goes in 0 for 27. Carson Kelly, their starting catcher, hasn't hit a homer since April 16th. The only 2 guys that are really hitting and doing anything right now is Pete Crow Armstrong and Michael Bush. They need a lot more out of Seiya Suzuki. Seiya Suzuki, 30 homers last year. He hasn't hit one since May 8th. Moises Ballesteros, who had a great April, hasn't hit a homer since May 3rd, and he's hitting under 100, under 150 since the start of May.
Hope he wasn't named after Moises Alou.
Moises was a much better hitter, that's for
sure.
That's
what I'm saying.
Bullpen-wise, it's been okay. I mean, they've had so few leads that you can't even throw your top guys. I mean, Daniel Palencia, their closer, I think has two saves this year because they're either blowing teams out or they're getting beat. It's been a frustrating stretch, and they got to figure it out quick. Their next 20 games are against teams that are under 500. So now's the time where you need to start making a move. Starting this week, you have a terrible A's team coming in for three to Wrigley, a horrendous Giants team who might be the worst team in the National League coming in for three this weekend. You need to go at minimum 4-2, and even that I won't even feels good enough. 5-1 or better is what I expect out of you
guys. There you go.
This week, it starts tomorrow night. Got to do it. Have to. There's zero excuse. If they go 3-3, 2-4 against the A's and Giants, I'm calling it for the season. Calling it.
Friend of the show, big White Sox fan.
Yeah.
Aaron Lynch wanted me to put this as the cover art for tonight's podcast. I'm not going to do it, but I had to share this with you, and I'm sure you saw this graphic
online. Sure I did. Yeah.
I'm sure you did. But he got a good chuckle out of it, so I told him I'd share it. And it is how to lose a division in 10 games. Deluxe edition with Pete Crow Armstrong on it and White Sox girl.
Oh, yeah.
And it has Wrigley Field scoreboard or the outside. Says another lead, another collapse.
Yeah. Pete's been great during the stretch, believe it or not. It's the one guy who's been doing stuff. White Sox fans are having a good time.
They're having a very good time right now.
They should just hang up a banner in May. I think
32-27 in a game out of the division.
I would be more shocked at the end of the year if they didn't still lose 90 games. That's just
wow.
All
right.
Yeah. I think they'll finish well under 500. And if they don't, you guys can come after me, but.
He was texting me today. I have two things from him. The first one was just a comment, and then one was a pretty good question I wanted to get your opinion on before we wrap things up. His comment about the Cubs right now is they remind him of the 22 White Sox.
No, not even close. No.
I don't know enough to the
22 White Sox had younger guys that that you could tell that it was starting to fade a little bit. The Cubs, they're different. I mean, Cubs have been they've lost 15 of their last 20. That followed them winning 20 of 23. So 20 games is not going to make or break a season either way. So it's just a rough stretch that I'm grumpy about. But 20 game sample is very small. 23 game sample is very small, and no one was saying anything when they were, had those two separate 10 game winning streaks. But now once it goes bad for a little bit, it feels so much worse than it did good. Sure. And again, it's a good thing they won 20 of those 23 because it kind of balances it out a little bit. They banked some wins where they could have a bad stretch like this. The 2016 team heading into the All-Star break lost 15 to 20 games, the exact same as this Cubs team has done. In May, again, 4 months left. So, I'm talking myself into being okay. But it's just
bad. See, I'm helping you out. I'm helping you out.
Thank you. And thank you to Lynch too for that. Yes. Very wrong comment.
He's got a good question here. He said he heard on the score the other day, the Chicago AM sports station, radio station, them talking about the Bears quarterbacks and why it has been so hard for them to achieve the 4,000 passing yards in the season. And he said it had him wondering what would be the hardest achievement to make in a season. He thinks it would be a Rockies pitcher winning an NL Cy Young award.
It might be. That's good, Lynch. Yeah, although 1 year Kyle Freeland was really close.
Yeah.
2018, he had a great, great season. He stunk ever since.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say a Rockies pitcher winning a National League Cy Young might be the most difficult thing to do in sports.
Yeah.
I mean, you look up and down there. I was just looking at their stats yesterday. They have a team ERA near 6. Their big time offseason acquisitions in Michael Lorenzen has an ERA over 7. it's so tough to pitch there.
There's a reason they haven't won an NLS title ever.
Yeah, yeah. Some other things that would be difficult to do. And that's tough. I don't even know I could think of one that could come close to topping that. That's a good question.
You could bring up individual sports, you know, just winning certain tournaments or matches, sure, or whatever. But yeah, team sports wise, that might be one of the toughest, even though it's an individual award.
Yeah,
that might be one of the toughest achievements to do.
I would say it's never going to happen.
No, that's
my guess, unless they have some unbelievable. The thing is, you can throw really hard out there, but because the air is so thin, your stuff's not going to be as good.
Right.
So you can throw 102 miles an hour, but if your braking stuff's not going to break like it does.
Yeah.
So it makes everything else. And so if people are sitting fastball, and they, even if you throw 102, guys can square up a fastball in the major leagues. So
I often have wondered if the MLB regrets putting a team out there. Then I'm like, no, they don't, because the attendance is high all the time out there, and they're banking money. So no, they don't regret putting a team out there.
There's no team close to them either. Like,
no,
there's
no.
I mean, Arizona might be the closest. Maybe probably somebody in Texas.
But Dallas and Houston are not that close to Denver, though.
No, it's not. Arizona, you have, I mean, Minneapolis, Chicago, or the St. Louis might
Vegas
be
Vegas cool. When they get a team.
When they get a team, they'll be the closest. But yeah, they are the team playing.
And it's a great spot for away fans to see their team play too.
Yeah, definitely. So,
looking at the current standings real quick, AL East, the Rays hold a 1.5 game lead over the Yankees. Rays have a 36-20 record, Yankees 36-23. Everybody else in the AL East still under 500.
Yeah.
AL Central, the Guardians, 1 game lead over the White Sox. Guardians are 34-27. White Sox are 32-27. Everybody else under 500.
Tigers are the most disappointing team in the sport.
22-38.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, they're for sure sellers. Scooball will be probably the hottest name at the deadline.
AL West, 1 team over 500, and that's the Mariners at 31-29. They have a 2.5 game lead over the A's and the Rangers, 4.5 game lead over the Astros, and 8 game lead over the Angels. And National League, the Braves, 40-20, 9-game lead over the Nationals.
It's over.
The Phillies also have a 1-game over 500 record. Hey, the Mets are not in last anymore in the East. That belongs to the Marlins. In El Central, Brewers have a 4.5 game lead over the Cardinals.
I'm never picking the Brewers to not win the NL Central again. Never doing it.
Sitting dead last is the Reds with a 30-28 record, but they're 6 games behind.
That's rough.
The Brewers.
Yeah.
And the NL West, Dodgers 5.5 game lead over the Padres, 38-21. Padres, Diamondbacks winning records. And then, like you said, Giants and Rockies are miserable. So.
Yeah. Dodgers are starting to separate like we thought they would. So,
yeah, the LA teams like to spend money.
They do. Yes, they do. So real quick, the MLB Players Association put in a – I don't even know what it's called. Not a bid, but a – I don't even know. And then the Major League Baseball countered their offer. There it is. Man, is it even an offer? I don't even know.
Sounds anyway, good to me. Just roll with it.
and they are very far apart in negotiations. So we'll see how that goes the rest of the year. But
yep. Birdie or bogey, who is the oldest player in NBA history to win the MVP award?
I'm glad you repeated the question, because which I knew you would. I completely forgot. Oh man, I'm gonna pull something out of my hat.
Glad you said hat.
yeah. Is it Jason Terry?
MVP? Regular season MVP?
Regular. I was thinking NBA Finals MVP.
Oh, no. Regular season. Time. So I won't even count that against
you. Okay.
I was going to say, that was the worst MVP guess. That's the worst of some of mine.
That is. Regular season MVP. For some reason, the whole time I was thinking NBA Finals MVP.
Sorry.
I was thinking either Dirk or Jason Terry won it in 2011 or whatever. Oh, man. I'm going to go.
I mean, Jason Terry was a heck of an NBA 2K player, but
he was. I have a Steph. I have no idea. Now
it is not Steph Curry.
I'm all bummed.
You're flustered. You're flustered.
I'm flustered. Who was it?
Karl Malone at the age of 35.
35 is the oldest? Wow, I thought it'd be older than that.
Yep.
Dang. So you got a healthy 5-stroke lead on me.
It'll come crumbling down. It's gonna hurt.
I'm gonna be thinking about that Jason Terry answer forever.
That might have to get clipped.
Yeah, I thought you said finals MVP. Yeah, my bad.
All good.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.